Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, how should Muslims prepare their mind, body and soul for the months of Ramadan?
The run-up to Ramadan can be both an exciting and anxious time for Muslims as they prepare for a month of self-restraint, worship and good deeds. Abstention from eating, drinking, sexual relations, backbiting and smoking during daylight hours is required. But the month represents and can demand much more than just this. Certain types of food will be prepared during this special month, and for many, organising iftar or the breaking of the fast with friends and family is paramount. But as well as the physical preparations and adjustments, Muslims are required to prepare spiritually, cleansing their hearts and detaching themselves from the hectic pace of day-to-day life. This week on Islam and Life, we ask the question, how should Muslims prepare their mind, body and soul for the month of Ramadan?
Yes, indeed. The month of Ramadan is not only a physical experience, it's a spiritual journey. And it's quite important before starting this journey, before being involved in a month where we are going to meditate, to try our best to understand ourselves, to understand our world, to understand in which way we can be useful for ourselves and for the other human beings, to prepare ourselves physically, spiritually, and to understand, and intellectually as well, and to understand the very meaning of this month. So the Prophet ﷺ was starting to fast before the month itself, and he was pushing the Muslims to think about the essential teachings of this religion. So it's quite important for all of us while we are entering the month of Ramadan to ask this question and to try our best to be prepared physically, spiritually and socially as well. So to answer these questions, I'm joined by Sheikh Babikir Ahmad, Imam and Spiritual Director of Islamia Schools Center. Thank you so much for being with us, Sheikh, and I think it's quite important while we are entering the month of Ramadan to come back to preparing ourselves, because if we are not doing this, we can end up by knowing the rules, not understanding their meanings. So what would be the first advices that you can have for Muslims, ordinary Muslims, no. men and women, when it comes to, okay, Ramadan is coming, what should I do?
Alhamdulillah, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, assalamu alaikum ya Tariq.
Alaykum assalam.
Alhamdulillah, it is a pleasure to see people from now preparing themselves for Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to state at the beginning of Rajab, and he will say, Allahumma rabbi barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, bless the month of Rajab and Sha'ban for us and allow us to live during Ramadan. Meaning that Ramadan is the month that the Ummah should fulfill its mission on. Because if there is any worship that should be really valued, not struggling and traveling to perform Hajj or struggling to raise money and to help the poor, but to fulfill oneself, okay, by doing that, we should make this us better people. And that is by the fasting. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself used to fast a lot. And as you said rightly, he used to prepare himself by fasting. He used to say there is a month that is neglected between Rajab and Ramadan. And that month is the month of Sha'ban. And he said, Rajab Shahrullah, Sha'ban Shahri, wa Ramadan Shahr al-Ummah. Rajab is the month of Allah.
Yes.
Sha'ban is my month. And Ramadan is the month of the Ummah. So this month which is neglected, I will use to perfect myself. Also, you have to remember, before the Arabs received Islam, they used to honor the month of Rajab as one of the four important months in the Islamic calendar. And what they used to do in it, stop fighting, stop arguing, stop doing all the evil things, and fast in it. And subhanAllah, a lot of the companion afterward, they used to give a lot of due to this month. And even now, there are people who will fast a lot in Rajab and Sha'ban. And I believe by noticing the history and looking at what the Prophet did and the companion, those who followed them, we can truly prepare ourselves for this awesome months, because really people value themselves. They need to sit and think about Ramadan. Imagine the children who are taking exam. They will be struggling, revising, doing, but before May and June come, everybody is cutting themselves off, preparing for the exam. And when you ask them, no, it is important. So isn't Ramadan, that month of exam or preparation for the exam, is important to take notice of?
So that's a good comparison between exam and really, because Ramadan is an exam. It's a personal experience.
Absolutely.
And it has something which has to do with al-muraqaba, which is you know just monitoring what who you are and what you want to be. So just the months before and Sha'ban and as it was said, the Prophet ﷺ was fasting just to prepare himself to this. What would be the spiritual dimension? In which way, for example, we have to prepare ourselves on the spiritual dimension, while we know that this very important month, which is so important, it has a night which is more important than 1,000 months. It's so important. Just before that, so if now we are here,
yes,
it's coming.
Yes.
So how can we prepare ourselves?
Well, to be honest with you, for everything that we do, we need to plan. What's the aim of fasting? Now, everybody needs to understand, fasting is to perfect oneself. If we're looking spiritually,
yeah,
a person is going to fast, restraining himself, not from the haram, but even from the halal, for a whole month.
Yes.
For what reason? To perfect oneself. And I tell you, it is said in some of the
so
stories...
So the halal, you mean the lawful, which is drinking and eating.
Eating, drinking, being with your spouse,
yes,
and doing all those things.
This is halal, Ramadan, it's becoming
forbidden.
Yeah.
You see?
During the day.
Yeah, during the day it's forbidden. During the day. So, subhanAllah, the person need to think. An old man once told me, we were studying together, and he said, look, everything Allah created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring forth and ask, who are you and who am I? And the creature will say, you are the Lord and I'm the servant and glory be to you. Except for the nafs. And the nafs, when it was created, said, I am me and you are you. And Allah says to the angels, this one need to be punished in the fire for 70 years to cleanse it. After 70 years, it became even more stronger. Answering the same answer. 70 years in the Zamharir, the cold part of the hellfire, which is prepared for the jinn. It came the same way. Allah says, this one need to go to the valley of hunger. Once it was put in the valley of hunger, it came crawling, you are the Lord, and I am servant, and glory be to you. And Allah says to Adam, when he put the soul into him, you need to restrain yourself or your nafs by fasting. And Rasulullah ﷺ perfected that by saying, sumu fa innahu lakum wajja. Do fast, for it is self-restraining.
Yes.
So for us to prepare ourselves for that journey, the aim is to restrain ourselves. Kutiba alaykum al-siyam. Perhaps you may achieve piety. What is piety? Piety is ذَرْوَ الزَّنَامَ الْإِيمَانِ, the highest peak of faith. And taqwa, many people think taqwa is to look like a Muslim or dress like a Muslim or act like a Muslim. Taqwa is to restrain yourself from haram.
From and what is unlawful.
What is unlawful.
Yeah.
And taqwa also is to be able to use the halal with modesty. Because israf, overspending or overindulging,
excess, any kind of excess is wrong.
Forbidden.
Yeah, yeah.
So in that sense, you need to think of what this taqwa is. And I think the Muslim will do themselves better before Ramadan to study taqwa. What is taqwa? What is the attribute of taqwa? Who the taqi? Who the taqiyya? How can we get to that position of piety? Now, once you enter Ramadan, the Prophet said a beautiful hadith, Ramadan awaluhu rahma. Ramadan, it is beginning is mercy. Wa awsatuhu maghfira. And it is middle is forgiveness. Wa akhiruhu itqun min al-niran. And it is end is salvation from the hellfire. So I always thought, if that's the case, then the mercy is to get you indulge in finding ways of pulling yourself away from that which is lawful during the day to do and you are not allowed to do until sunset. But maghfira then comes is for you to seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive your shortcomings. Not just before Ramadan, even in Ramadan.
Yes.
Because look at the Muslims. They try to perfect themselves. If you ask any Muslim, I want to fast because I want to feel the feeling of the poor. But when the iftar comes, when the break comes, then the poor will never have the feast we have.
Yes.
Even in our homes, we don't have the same meal. So that is seeking forgiveness from those shortcomings. And at the end, when we come to the seclusion.
Yes, it's an important topic, and I think that we have to come to this very specific topic, which is how do we deal with eating during yes. Ramadan. But let me come to this understanding of just before Ramadan, because what you said is important, is the way you are dealing with your nafs, with your ego. Mm. It has to do with, you know, fasting. This is why in the verse that you were mentioning, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السَّيَمَ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. It's a universal obligation.
Absolutely.
Why? Because it's a universal obligation of all the spiritual teachings throughout all the religions.
Absolutely.
Your ego could be your danger.
Absolutely.
Your ego could be your jail. So fasting is, so when we are entering this month, starting with Ar-Rahmah,
Awwaluhu
Rahmah, how do we deal with this? So practically, how would you say, or what would you say to a Muslim woman or a Muslim man saying, okay, look, Ramadan is coming, it's in few days, now I want to be ready for entering Rahmah.
Yes.
What would be your
Absolutely,
your
that's a very good thing. That's a very good question to ask. The best thing to do, seriously, the best thing to do is to try to follow the Prophet ﷺ. Yes. I ask myself, what did the Prophet do sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before Ramadan, if he fasted in Sha'ban, and Aisha radiallahu anha is reported to have said that he used to fast most of Ramadan or all of it sometimes.
Hmm.
And why
most
he fasted?
Most of Sha'ban, you mean?
Of Sha'ban, sorry.
Yeah. Hmm.
Or most of it.
Yeah.
Okay? Subhanallah. He used to fast it, but then yet he used to enjoy himself sharing what he has with those who have not. That's a mercy. We need to be inclined towards looking at those people who are really fasting to emulate, to be like, okay? And to live the life they lived. And therefore, he used to bring people together. He never eat alone, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will never sit and break a date. Without sharing it to somebody else. It is reported once upon a time he was fasting and he was sitting in his tent and he was waiting for the time and he was glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wondering to himself, and then the iftar time comes, Anas comes into his tent and said, Ya Rasulullah, it is time to break your fast. He said, Ya Anas, is there anybody else who can break their fast with me? And Anas radiallahu ta'ala, who being the good student, he said, I will look, he would look, there's nobody. Then he came
but this is a very important point just before Ramadan.
It's just
look at the people around you.
Absolutely.
Just share with the people and serve them.
Absolutely.
Because it's the month of service.
Absolutely.
Which is coming. Yeah.
In fact, for us living in the West here, I say to myself, one of the best things that we need to look into is when we drive our cars and we see people lying in the street, especially like in Paddington or in Oxford Street, your road, sitting
in
the UK, and life is difficult for them. We shouldn't just pass them by and say, well, these people maybe he's drugged or drunken. There is a psychological problem that led this person to be here, and Allah is testing him through you. He is passing his test by accepting his condition. Are you passing your test, or you who claim to be the believer in God, by showing that mercy?
So practically, what should I do?
Yes.
I'm driving my car, and I remember Sheikh Babikir said what? So what should I do?
You should immediately think, if I'm going to enter into the month of fasting, that food I'm going to cook every day to eat, it's not really just for me to break the fast, but to share it with those people. We should encourage people to go out, share our food, bring those people in if we can into our mosques. Give them something, because Islam إطعام الطعام. Islam sharing the food.
Yes.
When are you going to share the food better than Ramadan? In the best cultures, when you are walking to your house rushing before iftar time or hearing the muadhin, people will stop you to eat with them because they want to share their food. That is mercy.
This is a very important dimension. Let us go through a concentric circle.
Yes.
We spoke about the people around, and in non-Muslim society, like for example in the UK here or in the West, it's quite important to be able to look. It's also to convert our sight from the beginning. Our heart should be converted to this, but we should to convert our sight. Let us come to the family, because the month of Ramadan is also a month of for the family, that we are living with our parents, our kids, our wife, husband. What would it be important for a Muslim within his or her family to do just entering Ramadan? Because Ramadan will gather us. If there is something, but is there something that we can do before Ramadan that
absolutely,
you think it's important?
Absolutely. And I came here and I looked at your verse written. And one of the aspects Muslims don't understand is unity. We all talk about unity and we say tawheed.
Yes.
But tawheed in its essence is for us to unite.
Yes.
Okay? ولا تنازعوا فتفشلوا. Do not dispute. And in every family, like in the society generally, we dispute with one another, we argue with one another. To prepare ourselves, we need to make up with everybody. People do it today when they're going to Hajj. They think I'm leaving everything behind, doing this great worship.
Maybe they're not coming back.
Absolutely. Then I don't want to have this burden. But entering Ramadan with a burden is no good. Allah says in the Quran clearly, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَخْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Wouldn't you love Allah to forgive you? How could you seek from Allah to forgive you in Ramadan and you're not able to forgive your spouse or your child or your relative or your mother-in-law? To that end, you need to forgive everybody. And I think before Ramadan, we need to visit the family. We need to make sure that we have a list to invite everybody to come. Our home should become Qibla.
Yes.
Allah said in the Quran,
the direction.
Make your home the direction. Not direction people to pray at the Kaaba, but to come to you to find Islam, to share that food, to sit and talk to you about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to share the benefit of this religion. This religion is not really just praying and fasting. It's interacting. Ad-deen al-mu'amala. And I believe the best preparation for a family is to get in touch with their next of kin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Muhammad, describing the hypocrites, by that one of their worst attribute, they sever the link with their families.
Yes.
وَقَطَّعُوا أَرْحَامَهُمْ. We need to get to the next of kin. We ring back home.
But it's an important point, because I would say we are very used to say to the Muslims during Ramadan, call your relatives, go to visit your parents. What you are saying, which is quite important, I would say, is just before Ramadan, do it, because Ramadan is a journey.
You are setting
up a journey.
Yes,
so before leaving to this journey, prepare yourself by being in touch. So seek forgiveness and forgive.
Yes,
just before.
Absolutely,
you would say that this is also a way to.
It's part of the mercy.
Yeah.
It's part of. And how could you, Subhanallah, turn to the most merciful and say, "Arhamni"? And you are unable to make rahmah to your child or to your wife. And I'm sure one of the obstacles for the Muslims spiritually today is that they're not finding it in their heart to forgive one another.
So it's one of the main challenges.
And Ramadan Shahrul Rahmah is by forgiveness, by showing mercy. And if you are unable to give, give in Ramadan. If you are unable to share, share in Ramadan. If you are unable to go out of your way to do things that you were not able to do before, do it in Ramadan. I say to all the younger generation, look, forget about what the elder generation has gone through. You are the ones who are going to benefit from this month. Do the thing that. Because you see, for example, a father will say, no, you're not going to my brother. But this is the uncle. Or you're not visiting your grandmother. But this is my grandmother.
Yes.
Can you imagine Rasulullah teaching such a teaching? No.
Yeah.
And we will not receive mercy without doing that.
So the third circle, the concentric circle, is myself.
Yes.
I should show and be prepared with the people around me, within my family.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, I remember what the Prophet ﷺ said, وَعَاطِ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقًا. So you come back to you, you have to give to everything in you, your heart, your mind, your body, its rights. So what would it be, as I am alone now, and preparing? Because it's a journey, it's a community journey, but it's an individual journey at the same time. What should I do? What would you say that as an individual, you said, you know, أَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ, that you have to give. But it's also said, and the Prophet arriving in Medina said, صَلُّوا وَالنَّاسُ نِيَّةً, pray while the people are sleeping.
You are entering into a very beautiful area.
Yeah.
As I said at the beginning, because you are trying to achieve piety, now, being a person who can share and show mercy and forgive, it cannot come from a heart that is empty. It must come from a heart that is full. Full of what? Full of faith. Well, iman ya'lu wa yahbit. Iman increases and decreases. Ramadan is the month of charging your battery. And many people don't understand. There are two things here. The first thing is gaining by the worship you do, as you mentioned just now, وَصَلُّوا وَالنَّاسِ نَعْمَ, prayer while people are asleep. But other than that, is realizing your faults. Now, every one of us knows, if you ask a child, why did you do that? It's Iblis. You ask an adult, it is the Shaytan al-La'in. Everybody use him as a hanger to hang their problem. But the bigger problem is ourselves. كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, as he says صلى الله عليه وسلم, يعني الجهاد الأكبر جهاد النفس. The bigger jihad is when you restrain yourself. Know your shortcoming. Know your fault. The driver, I was just driving with the taxi driver to the studio. He was talking to me and he said to me, what do you think the problem of the Muslim world today? And I said to him, look, if everyone realizes his position and his mistake, then they will be better people. But as long as we're pointing the finger and blaming others, we will never be better people.
So you would say, if I understand well, something which is important is just to understand that you are a subject, that you are autonomous, that you are responsible.
Absolutely.
And then while you are entering this month, just to monitor yourself and just to make the account of your weaknesses, that you know, this is wrong in my life, this is wrong in my life, this could be improved.
Yes.
And then just to go for this, because it's a personal
But my question is, how are we going to do it?
Yes.
In schools, as a teacher, we say to children, write a diary. So I always tell my students, before Ramadan, begin to fast 1 or 2 days and write a diary. During the day, when you are making mistakes, it could be from shaitan, it could be from yourself. But in Ramadan, it's only from yourself. Because فيه تقلب الشياطين. In Ramadan, all the shayateen will be locked, and the doors of hell will be closed, and the doors of heaven will be opened, and the mercy is pouring, and Allah is opening His hand for forgiveness.
So it's coming. يبسط
يده. Yes. Allahu Akbar. This is something. This is the spiritual meaning of Ramadan. So in Ramadan, I would like every Muslim, from the first night, to sit down and look. No shayateen. It is me now. When you shout. When you scream, when you are angry, when you are mean, when you are unable to give, when you are unable to share, when you are unable to forgive, it's your mistake. Write all those mistakes. After Ramadan, come عيدا فهذا, whenever you see a mistake, not of those one, then it is shaitan. Then you can't blame him.
Before and after.
Before and after.
But still there is something which is important, because at the end of the day, we are preparing for Ramadan.
Yes.
We will be fasting.
Yes.
And all what you are saying is that, in fact, is teachings of life.
Absolutely.
Because what we are saying is just come back to the very essence of your life.
Absolutely.
Now you are entering a month where everything is about the essential dimension, the very essence of this Islamic teaching. And then you should transform Ramadan before and after into a school.
Absolutely.
A school of life.
Absolutely.
It's just how do you have to behave. And I would say that sometimes we don't have this. It's you know, Ramadan is a month between brackets.
Yes.
Well, it should be light.
Allahu Akbar.
It should be light. Yeah. So I would say, how can we, from all what we are saying now, try to translate this into a message for the Muslims?
Yeah, I tell you frankly, there is a misnomer. And that misnomer is, if somebody sees you praying more salah in the mosque, mashallah, he's praying. If you are going a lot of umrahs, mashallah, he's visiting the house of Allah. If you are giving a lot of charity, mashallah, he's doing the car.
Yeah.
But if you think of those three acts are only following the fard of Salah, which is 5 times a day, and Hajj once in lifetime, okay? And Zakah, which is once in a year, if you are affording it.
Yeah.
But if they see you fasting a lot, they say, no. Why are you fasting a lot? This is to show the importance of fasting. Because fasting, as I said at the beginning, is the only thing that can break you personally within yourself to make you the better person that we want you to be.
Yes, and therefore, from arrogance to humility.
Allah. And therefore, there are things that need to be done in Ramadan, other than just recording what you do wrong in Ramadan, is by watching yourself. There are 4 things that can make you a better person generally. Uzla, which is seclusion.
Yeah.
Every one of us needs an hour for himself. Okay? Silence. Wasukutu zahab. Okay? And silence,
so silence is gold.
It's gold.
Yeah.
We need to find, we talk too much. Sometimes one word slips. رب كلمة تخرج من فيك تهوي بك في النار 70 خريفا كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Perhaps one word come out of your tongue or your mouth which will drop you down into the hell for 100 years. So we need to watch our tongue. Number 3, hunger. Because when we are eating all the time, we are not noticing what we are doing. And the Prophet said, a person only needs a few mouthful.
Yes, to be healthy, we change our way of thinking.
Absolutely. Yeah. And number 4, which is the best, fikra. If you are keeping silent, if you are keeping hungry a little bit, and if you are secluding yourself, what need to do? To twiddle your thumbs? You need to think, to reflect, to ponder. I believe the majority of the human being generally today don't reflect.
Okay.
We are into the time of running, rushing, and jumping and dancing. Loud world we live in. So the end of Ramadan is a time of seclusion.
Thank you so much, Sheikh Mabukir. I think that during this discussion we have been able to touch on some of the very important dimensions. And if we think about, you know, these concentric circles, just to be to serve the people, to show the best behavior, and then to start to prepare oneself to Ramadan by this changing of behavior, understanding how it is important, but it's also with within the family, the way we treat our parents, the way we treat our relatives, and to spread around, you know, forgiveness, to forgive and to be forgiven. It means that we are ready at the beginning of Ramadan with this, and as it was said, to be hungry is also a way of breaking the ego and arrogance, to come to more humility, and it's a personal responsibility towards oneself, is to do this, is to fast, is to speak less and to be more silent and to ponder and to go through these spiritual experiences. This is the best way to enter Ramadan, and not to forget at the end of the Ramadan that Ramadan is a school for the year to come, and this is something that we have to implement to be faithful to the message of Islam. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here is how to contact us.
We'd like to hear your views on today's show, as well as ideas for future programs. You can do this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also join our Facebook page by searching Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can view past programs, keep up to date on future shows, leave comments, and meet other Islam and Life fans.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Sheikh Babikir Ahmed. Thank you so much for being with us and with your insight and all what you said, because I really think it's important for all of us. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.